I'm Nikki.
I'm Stacey.
And we're your host of Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes. And that's right, no Heather.
We're definitely missing one.
We are missing one today. She's out in Florida living her best life without us.
Pictures, videos of the beach. She's just rubbing it in.
Yeah, just, you know, bitch.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to do this today without her. We also had a couple things go on. We're not in the studio today, but we wanted to bring you guys an episode because we don't want to miss out on anything. So,
and it's a good one today.
Yeah, we just couldn't pass it up. So we didn't want to leave you guys with nothing, but we're doing it from Zoom, and hopefully everything goes okay. Sorry if we sound a little weird. First time ever trying this.
We'll get through it. We'll
just, we'll make it work, and we'll be back in the studio hopefully on our next one.
Let's
get going.
All right, let's do our disclaimer first. So we're not experts nor detectives. All information provided in today's episode is public knowledge and personal opinions. They are in no reflection of Loco Network or any affiliated sponsors. We talk murder, have foul mouths, so listener discretion is highly advised.
Okay, so
I feel like that line may have been added in there.
I feel like, the highly part, I feel like we could speak in caps.
Bold, caps. Highlighted, exclamation point.
Exactly. So today we're going to go domestic. And
that's a hard one.
It is. And we all know those usually don't end well most of the time. Even though she's not here, even though Heather's living her best life, I'm going to keep saying it because I'm jealous. We didn't let her get off that easy. We definitely made her still do her research with her comfy facts. But with this case, I kind of wanted to do it like at the beginning though.
Yeah, so this is different. Normally we do them at the end.
Normally do them at the end, but I thought this one, like the main topic we'll be talking about is important, that these facts I think need to be read before we start discussing.
And there are so many
statistics.
Thank you. That is a hard word out there. And I mean the percentages.
Yeah. So you're gonna deliver a comfy fact.
I am in place of Heather.
All right.
So it says nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner. That's 20 people. 20 people in 60 seconds. Yeah. Yep. Here's another one. Intimate partner violence accounts for 15% of all violent crimes. This one, though, the next one is what gets me. In 15 states, more than 40% of all homicides of women in each state were involved by their intimate partner. So you're talking 40% of all women homicide in 15 states was domestic.
That's sad.
That's a huge percentage.
It's damn near half.
You're right. Of female homicides.
Wow.
So this
that's
is something
absurd.
But you hear it over and over about, you know, they've had reports and it just
and that's the thing that pisses me off the most is the reports. And it literally, I've been to court cases and watched that when we were trying to get, you know, a protective order and everything. These people literally were not being granted these protective orders because nothing had happened yet.
Yeah, but there's a paper trail of things that have already happened.
This person is standing outside my window stalking me.
Right.
But because they have not physically done anything.
And that definitely contributes to 40% of all homicides of women are domestically related in 15 states.
What else you got? You got any more?
I think that's what we're gonna go with. I think them are enough to chew
let's,
on
yeah,
for a while.
Let's talk with that for a little while, because it just makes me sick.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that leading into what we're gonna talk about today. Today's case is a domestic one. Unfortunately, with 40%.
Yeah.
She's part of the 40%.
There you go.
Miss Jackie Waller was born December 26, 1971. So Christmas baby, pretty much. In Bonterre, Missouri.
I know exactly.
We know a lot about Bon Terre because
all of us do.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah, just kind of growing up through there. They got parks and it's very country. Yeah, it's country. It's Southeast Missouri. It's what you think of when you think country.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. Gravel roads and but it's
fields and creek beds.
A great way to raise a family, you know.
It was fun growing up. So I can't complain. But again, we're in Bon Terre. So this is where Miss Jackie was basically born and raised. In fact, her family still lives there.
Bon Terre is getting better, but I still don't think it's like super big.
I think they have a Sabbath now.
They're fancy.
But Jackie was known, she was known to be very fun loving, hardworking. She married a man named Clay Waller, which obviously is where she got her last name. They soon welcomed triplets.
Whoa.
Triplets. Two girls, one boy. I don't think anybody's prepared for that.
No, I mean, you said that it's a sentence.
I don't think anybody is prepared for that. But Jackie, I mean, from everything I read, Jackie was. She was a great mother. She was very attentive. But Clay was known for like having a speech impediment, not really holding down a job. Jackie would often like defend him and support him. She a lot of times she made the comments like she felt like she was raising another child. So
very strange marriage.
Yeah,
and I mean it's true. I was like, it's triplets.
Then you bring three kids into it. So I think she just felt like in all she had four kids.
Yeah.
Wow. But like I said, he wasn't very good at holding a job. She often carried the weight of the house, the household duties, the expenses. Just overall,
that's a heavy weight.
Yeah,
that's a heavy weight for her to carry.
From what I can find, her family wasn't a very big fan of him. Apparently he was known for being caught cheating.
So he was just a good one, cheating, multiple affairs. You got newborn triplets at home, you're not helping with your baby.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But what I did find interesting was he, at one point, was a police officer for the Cape Girardeau Police Department.
That's interesting.
But only for about a year.
Hmm.
He only held that job about a year. And it has been said that other officers in the department say he had like a very like odd and deceptive demeanor about him.
That's probably why he was only there a year. Yeah. Everyone was catching like something's not right with this
one. Definitely wasn't right. And I think that was picked up by more people than anyone, you know. And I think Jackie probably, there's no way she didn't know.
Yeah.
That's something. But you know, love is blind. Love is very freaking blind.
That is true.
But okay, so he's the Cape Girardeau cop, even for a year.
Think of how much knowledge, though, for crime that he got from even just that 1 year.
Right.
So
exactly.
So that's another little thing to think about.
But so while he was bouncing in and out of jobs, Jackie was she was a manager for an insurance firm, and she made fairly good money. She made enough money to support the household. But even that being said, though, even when Clay didn't have a job, didn't seem like he was helping out around the house either. So it made her family even more like, why is he here? Why are we still doing this? You know? Yeah. So, but while Jackie had become pregnant with the triplets and everything, her and her sister had like rekindled a relationship, and
I heard something about there was like 6 years difference between them. Her sister was like very young when she got married and started raising a family, and so I heard there was like a little separation when they were younger, but as soon as Jackie found out she was pregnant, it was like they had things in common.
Share and talk about, and so they, you know, she would confide in her sister, Cheryl.
Imagine that.
They began spending, you know, time, more and more time together, and she was basically pulling away from Clay. But he, because I mean, he had become emotionally and physically abusive. She knew she wanted out of their marriage, but she feared him.
And I think that is a lot of the things you hear with domestic, they want out of it. They know they're in a bad situation, but they have literally been terrified or beat down to where they, they're afraid to leave.
Well, and now, not only her, she fears for her children's lives.
Absolutely.
She not only has herself, now she has three children she's got to worry about. Yep. But Clay knew that she was pulling away, and he could clearly see, he could see the writing on the wall. He continued to be verbally abusive to the point to where Jackie literally started keeping a diary on her work computer.
Okay, so right there, she knows something. Why would you start keeping a diary unless something's going on? Tell people, tell your family, tell your friends, because if no one knew about that journal,
It sounds like she did talk to her sister quite a bit, but I don't think the extent
to where they
to where, you know, but she did tell her sister like that I feel like he's going to kill me. So she started keeping this journal on her work computer, obviously, so he couldn't see or find anything. There was, however, two like really chilling quotes that she logged like weeks before her disappearance. Well, months / weeks, but first one being December 3rd of 2010. And these are quotes I'm going to read. She says, I told him that I was going to file for divorce. He said that he had a feeling that one of us would not be around to watch our kids grow up.
See, right there. Nope.
So what are we going? That bounce to March 23rd. So we're talking March, December, January, February, March, 3 months.
Yeah.
March 23rd, 2011, she again, quote, wrote, Clay told me that if he couldn't get me, he would kill our kids. He would take them for a weekend fishing trip, and then he would personally tell me he drowned them so he could see the look on my face.
He's just evil. I mean, that's just evil. There's no other... You're evil.
Just evil.
Yeah.
So she started keeping this journal, and during that spring, when you know March 23rd, he made that threat. During that spring, he had lost yet again another job, so they were unable. They got behind on bills. They were unable to keep up, and they were losing their home. So Jackie saw this as a perfect time for her to kind of, for them to go their separate ways.
Right,
like, we're losing our house. Yep. It's time for me to go your way. Time for you to go your way.
My ticket out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And the kids are now 5 at this time.
Okay. So things, I'm sure, have definitely settled in. Right. And, you know, not that 5-year-olds are. Can you imagine 3 questions? Ooh, 3 of them on a question.
I love my baby with myself, but the questions? I don't understand how one person can produce so many. But like I said, they decided it's a good time to move their separate ways. She moved in with her sister, and Clay moved about an hour away to Jackson, Illinois. Things seem to be moving in the right direction. They both seem to be moving on. They both became new relationships.
Oh, nice.
Jackie really felt like he was finally accepting what was happening. Like, they lost their house, so he kind of had no choice but to accept what was happening, realizing, you know, what was going on. So she kind of thought things were okay.
She's in a new relationship. She's thinking
he's in a new relationship.
Yeah, so she's thinking it's good. Like, I can finally get a life going for myself now.
All he was left was to finalize the divorce. Their son had stayed with Clay. So they decided, their son was hanging with Clay, whatever. So they decided that on June 1st of 2011, they would meet in person at her attorney's office, go over the last of the details, and she would pick her son up from Clay. Her other children were with her sister. So she had called her sister after the meeting, you know, just... Hey, you know, thanks for the pack. Yeah, like, I mean, some shit I would do with
you. Listen to what this motherfucker said.
I call daily.
Highly advised.
Yes. Yes. But, you know, she called her sister and told her what the hell's going on. And 3 hours later, though, she never showed up at home. So Ooh. Now, you know, us we're, being sisters.
We're where are you at? Yes, like, okay, I've already called you twice.
I know it takes you an hour to get home, but it's been 3 hours. Where the hell are you?
Yep.
So her sister started calling. She called both her and Clay. She knew in her soul that he had done something.
She was uncomfortable.
Yes. She was uncomfortable.
Yes. She knew something was wrong. She was uncomfortable.
So Clay finally answered and was like, no, I don't know where she is. If I see her, I'll have her call you. But she knew right then something was seriously wrong. Like, to the point to she got in her car without hesitation. She drove straight to Jackson Police Department and walked right through that door and said, Clay Walker killed my sister.
Day one. Like, I don't care what you say. I know something's not right. I'm going straight there.
Yes. She went straight to the police department, walked in the door and said, Clay Waller killed my sister.
Look at this.
Now, granted, she didn't have any proof or evidence. But she told the police everything that was going on. You know, she told them about the divorce, the meeting the lawyer. So they had enough to where it may, yeah, exactly. There you go.
You know, it sparked their interest because domestic violence, I mean, this is real.
Absolutely.
And you can't ignore it. Like, it's obvious that
divorce. Well, I'm sure that sister went in there hot. Like, I mean, she had that power walk up to that. You know, she
had her own bulldog.
Yeah.
I call my sister my bulldog. But yes, I'm sure she did. So they do. They listen. They immediately send an officer to go talk with Clay. He does confirm that he was with her most of the day. He says they met up at a drugstore around 11 a.m. They went to have lunch. They split up again until about 3 o'clock when they went to go meet the attorney. He states that she wanted to come back to the house to talk about the meeting.
Yeah, where's the son?
Yeah.
Wasn't she like, so, they were supposed to meet for this? Okay.
Exactly. So the sister thing, you know, she has told the sister, oh, I'm going to pick up my son.
Right.
But he's telling the cops, oh, she wanted to come back and talk.
Okay. Yeah, right there. Red flag.
Exactly.
First red flag.
But come to find out, his son, he says his son is actually at his girlfriend's house in Illinois. So all along, he never had this.
I was going to say, so the son was never even with him.
Was never with him.
Yep.
Yeah. So obviously. He states that him and Jackie took a nap together, and then they started talking about the meeting where they got into an argument and she got mad and took off walking.
So, you know, are we thinking like one of them?
Last bang.
That's the last one.
I don't know though.
Well, she was already in a relationship though, so.
Yeah, and I don't think that's what, I think she truly thought she was going to pick her son up.
Oh yeah, I do too. I think she kind of led her on to think that.
And then he says, she took off walking. Okay, so first of all, you mean to tell me, A, her son's not there, her car's there, but she's going to take off walking?
None of this is adding up.
Yeah, okay.
None of it.
No. So he claims he got in the car to go look for her. He couldn't find her. When he returned home, her car was gone.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So now the cops are really paying attention.
Yeah, obviously.
Because they're going, your story makes absolutely no sense. Right.
They start searching and they find Jackie's car on the side of the highway with a flat tire. Maybe she got stranded. Maybe she got picked up by a stranger.
I mean, it does happen.
Exactly.
It does happen. Right.
That's where your mind goes. But of course, they investigated further and the tire actually proves it was punctured while the vehicle was stationary.
So once again, he's trying to set up.
Yes, it was not driven any distance. The rim was not driven on, nothing. But now we're 24 hours in and the car has been found. And guess who the lawyer is up?
He was a cop. I'm telling you, like,
but now they can't do anything. Now they legally have to file for warrants.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously he's no longer willing to allow them access to their properties, vehicles. But they do. They get the warrants. They get warrants for his truck, her truck, and the house he's staying at, which is the last known place for her to be. Mm-hmm. upon searching his truck, they found blood all inside, which they did test, and it's not hers.
Okay, so why would there be, what is the blood? Why else would there be blood in the car?
It's this blood that he purposely put there.
That's the videos that he recorded, right?
Yes, he recorded videos purposely putting blood inside his truck, saying, let's see if they'll be shady or not.
Oh, he was legit trying to cover the alibi. You know, he's trying to stay with his son. I mean, he's trying to set this perfect crime up.
So let's go to the house. Okay. Inside, they noticed in the hallway that the carpet had been ripped up.
Oh, that's not suspicious.
And blood was on the walls. But this time, it's her.
This is in fish blood.
It is Jackie's blood this time.
Oh, Lord. I mean, that's bad, but...
But it's clear that something has happened. So they continue to search the house, and they find a crawl space in the basement, and guess what they find?
Oh, no, not her. Not her.
Not her.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. What did they find?
The carpet. They found the carpet, and it has blood all over it.
Imagine that. That's why you ripped it up.
Yeah. But they don't arrest him.
Well, I mean, how do they not assume that it's her blood? But I guess they don't have...
No.
Okay.
But even still, when they find out it's hers, they don't arrest him because there's no body. You still have
blood. There's nothing they can prove.
Oh, no.
Okay,
no.
There's nothing they can prove. There's no body. And he claims there was an accident in the kitchen, but it was no big deal.
Okay, so I've seen the evidence photos and all of the tags of the blood. Everywhere. Every place that you could see. And I mean, it was covered. We'll have to see if we can link one of them. All of that was blood. So how was it? Oh, no big deal.
Well, at this point, now we got to put our detective hats on. And you got to think.
Basically a detective. Okay,
basically a detective. they have nothing substantial. So they're building their evidence.
Okay.
So the police ain't stupid. They know this man has done something, but they're just continuing to gain evidence. So...
I'm sure they got tabs. Yeah. They watch everything he does.
Okay. But now it makes them look back to the day that she disappeared.
Okay.
And where his whereabouts and everything. So surveillance tapes. They see that Jackie and him did meet earlier that day.
Okay.
So
I guess maybe now they can start getting all of these surveillance and stuff now.
Yeah.
Because now they know something. Okay. Foul play.
And it's probably, more and more warrants are being granted.
Okay.
More and more they're building. But it does also show later that evening him going to meet his girlfriend. But he's seen on camera that night pulling a small boat, which he's seen scrubbing and washing at a car wash.
Okay, but you said later that night.
That night.
So we're talking, he's washing a boat at night, and that doesn't seem so.
On the day that she's.
But that doesn't seem suspicious to no one.
No one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, I just want to make sure I know what's going on.
They did get a tip that someone had seen a boat like that docked at a place called Devil's Island.
Oh, that's a great name.
Yeah. It's an island that is like basically a secluded area located in the lower Mississippi bottoms on the Illinois side.
Okay.
So the police go there, they search, they come up empty handed. It's very wooded. And at this point, they don't really know what they're searching for, where they're searching. They just know, he's guilty.
They're just out there just scoping the area just in general.
So at this point, they've now got warrants. They put a tracker on his car.
Okay.
But again, him, who was an officer himself, he purposely would go places and sit so the officers would search that area.
Oh, that's not even right.
Yes.
Because people go back to the scenes of the crime. Right. So he was just playing with them. The whole time he thought it was the fish blood. I mean, he was just almost taunting.
They had search parties, and he would literally drive by laughing, flicking off the search parties, saying, like, you're never going to find anything. And now, meanwhile, they still have not arrested this man. So we're about 5 months in at this point. But here's the kicker.
She's still missing.
No one knows anything.
These poor kids.
Yes. They were 5 months in.
Oh.
And they're five. So they are well aware of what's going on. But Jackie's sister, Kathy, had been granted temporary custody of the kids while all this was happening.
Okay.
And Clay was furious.
Well.
Literally to the point that he went online and he, quote, said, "You are dead. I promise if those kids get hurt, I will get you. 5, 10, 25 years from now, you have it coming."
Isn't that a death threat?
Exactly.
So like, now, I have black and white proof
that you threatened my life.
Now
they can't arrest him. They can now arrest him with a viable threat that he has made to her. He now becomes a danger to the community, society. But this allows them to dig deeper into him.
Because now he's in custody for that. Yep.
They find allegations of him stealing $50,000 from a former employer. I'm sorry.
That's quite a bit of money.
Yeah. And threatening a former coworker.
Good.
So they're digging to find charges to stick.
Oh yeah.
If they can't get Jackie right now, they're gonna have him in. They're gonna have his ass in jail for something.
They're throwing anything between the wall and see what sticks.
They were able to give him 5 years
for just the death threat. I bet that was because it was something to do with electronic. I'm sure there's some new laws with electronic threats or something, because it's done. Yeah, I wonder if that's.
But it gives them time to dig deeper. They eventually had enough evidence over this time of him being locked up and them just being able to not have to worry about him
being out there doing something, being an asshole.
They have enough to get him on the first degree murder and tampering with evidence.
Okay, so they did. I mean, first degree murder, they found her body then.
No, we still have no body. So it would be murder in the first degree.
Okay.
So they're not saying first degree murder. They're saying it would be murder in the first degree.
Okay.
Now, where they're charging him, where this charge comes in, is because the conviction is going to be hard. So if they charge him with murder in the first degree, at least one of them is going to stay.
Okay.
But it's harder because he thinks he's outsmarted them. But I think it was very smart the way they handled this, because the family wanted him to face the harshest punishment they could. But they wanted the truth more than anything to bring Jackie home. So they came up with a plea deal, and Clay, again, who thought he had outsmarted the police, he heard the plea and he knew a trial would land him delays and everything in jail. And if found guilty, he could face the punishment. He could face life.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got the plea, he was like, okay.
So what was the plea? Do we know?
Yes. So the family
to second degree. So taking it down. Okay.
He would serve a 20-year sentence.
Woo! That's it?
Yes. In exchange for revealing where she was in a video confession.
Oh man.
So this family is taking 20 years.
They just want home.
Yeah, they just want home.
They just want home.
They want home and they want the truth about what happened.
Yep. And I mean, wow, that's a lot. Yeah. That is definitely a lot. But okay, 20 years for murder? He was how old? What did we say he was?
He was He was 42, I think.
42.
Okay. Yeah. So you're talking, he's 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
so we're talking 60s.
He's still going to be around. He's going to be released while they're still alive, you know. His kids. Yes.
Yes. While his kids are still alive. His kids will be
25, 26 is when they go.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Don't do that to them poor babies. But I know every time I say, it took us a little longer to get here, but here's where things get hard to hear.
Why?
Why do we always go here? So they took the plea. Again, he's got to do a full confession. So he admits to killing Jackie and the lack of remorse for what he did after he knew he would only serve 20 years. It's literally sickening.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what I say. 20 years is what I'm getting.
Right. Yeah. He admits that he, in his mind, had decided the year before when she had begun talking about divorce that and saying she was going to take the kids, he admits that he told her if she takes them kids, he was going to kill her.
So, I mean, I think it's kind of always been a back thought in his mind.
Yeah.
That
he goes on to say that when she said she officially filed for divorce in May, he said, he literally out of his mouth says he was done. He knew then that she was going to die.
So yeah, he had a plan to kill her. Yeah. He just didn't know when and where.
He admits the day before their meeting with the divorce lawyer, he went to Devil's Island. He dug a hole, the very hole that Jackie was later found in.
Wow.
But suddenly he can't tell the police where.
No, then you're not upholding your deal of the plea bargain and let's go back to life.
He admits to going back to the house where he states an accident occurred in the kitchen that caused Jackie to get upset. They begin to argue.
Accident. Can you see my air quotes?
He says she took off running down the hallway and tripped, where he then states that he hit her once and she provoked him. So he took his forearm and pressed it into her neck until she stopped moving, where he confirms she was in fact dead at that point.
So he's just saying this very matter of fact.
But autopsy showed that he didn't hit her once. She had multiple face and skull fractures consistent with blood force trauma.
Multiple.
Yeah.
This is one time that didn't.
He claims he took her to Devil's Island and buried her and laid a bag of fertilizer down. Now that right there, while Clay thinks he's just, you know, telling his story, that said a whole hell of a lot for the police. Okay. Because now meanwhile they're out here searching, you know, he suddenly can't remember whatever.
Right, where she's at.
Where she's at. But what he doesn't realize is he says he laid that bag of fertilizer down. They obviously, and from the research, it said that too much fertilizer can actually kill a living tree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you put too much, you can kill a plant. Yeah.
So when he said that, they immediately went back to that island and they searched for a tree that looked like it had recently died. And
big brain. Yes, they did.
And they found it. They found Jackie's body.
Wow.
Yeah. So he thought, you know, oh, I'm just telling my story, but he was giving them everything they needed. Oh, yeah. And the whole time he just thought, oh well,
he's boasting about it. Like I feel like he was boasting about it. Like, oh yeah, this is what I did. Mm-hmm. She's out there. I can't remember where she is. Yeah.
He just continued. Exactly what they needed. So they did find her. The family was able to bring her home. Jackie was laid to rest on June 8th of 2013.
I'm glad that she was able to get home to her family. I am.
2 years later.
Yep.
That's
a long time now.
2 years later.
So yeah.
So overall, Clay thought he won by taking the plea deal and he would serve his time. They couldn't touch him again. The no murder charges could come up.
Yeah, I mean, 20 years, that's it, 20 years.
Literally to the point where there's taped phone calls from prison of him again boasting about it. Like,
I mean, he sounds like that's what he's doing.
Yes.
Like, a family member told him he needs to be apologetic, and he says, again, I quote,
"I'm not gonna stand up in court tomorrow and tell everybody. I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm gonna stand up in court tomorrow and tell everyone to go fuck themselves."
Oh, whoa. Oh,
okay. There's more. "Why should I care what they're going through if they don't care what I'm going through?" He continues to say, "It happened 2 years ago. I just want to move on. I'm going to jail. When I walk out them doors, they can't do nothing more to me."
Wow. So he truly is like, whatever, I'm going to go do this for now. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care about my kids or family.
Yeah.
I don't care about my kids or family. No remorse at all. So I know one of the things that really, really got me was the testimony. You know how you can have your family go up and say, so before he was being sentenced, the sister gave just I'll spare y'all that. You can go listen if you want. Heart-wrenching, like, description of exactly what he did, and it's rough to listen to. But the one that really got me is his son. So it was two girls, one boy. So it was his son. They were 7, 8 years old when he was sentenced. And I just want y'all to listen to this little boy. And he just needed to be heard. This little man was so angry.
It's heart-wrenching. Okay, guys, I'm going to get this so we can hear this. Give me just a second. Make sure I'm doing this correct. All right, here we go.
Heart-wrenching. I mean, you can just tell, you big fat jerk. Like, that's as cuss word as a little 7 and 8 year old can be. Yes. I don't like you no more. I don't ever want to see. It's just sad, these poor kids.
It's sad that, you know, they have to carry this for the rest of their lives.
What's going on? And then to know that it's your own father.
Mm-hmm. And now, meanwhile, while all that was playing, you guys, his face never reacted. He never,
nothing.
Not an single emotion. Nothing.
No movement, no jaw clenched, nothing.
Not a single movement.
He didn't even take like a ragged breath.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing. Wow. Not a care in the world. And you know, and again, like you said, that, you know, is heart-wrenching to hear, but this whole story made me just sick. And to review and read and see the lack of remorse, I was super irritated that he was only going to serve 20 years.
Yeah,
but I understood the family's, you know, I understood their want for closure. But I literally screamed like, fuck yes. When I kept digging and I kept reading and, you know, oh, he was all, I had 20 years, you know, I'm only getting 20 years. They actually, it bit him in the ass and there was a little hidden justice here because.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so our last episode, we covered the difference between the state and federal laws.
Right.
Well, the biggest thing that he did to shoot himself in the foot at the time of his confession was he admitted that he had, in fact, premeditated to kill her and that he dug the grave the day before the murder.
Yeah, it's a Devil's Island place. Yeah.
Across state lines.
It's in Illinois. They're in Missouri.
It is not
federal.
A federal charge.
Federal.
So they said that.
So can he get more because now that's a different charge, right? Yes. So he's serving the 20 for that.
Yes. I was so excited.
Tell me more.
So he admitted to digging the grave in Illinois.
Yep.
With the intent to murder her, bury her there. He then crossed state lines to meet with her. He murdered her, back to Illinois, buried her in Illinois. Ooh. They hit him with another 35 years.
Woo-hoo! I bet your whole family was
another 35 years. But that 35 does not start until after he serves his 20.
Oh, so it can't be concurrent. Yep. Nice. So chances are good he's probably going to die with the age and yeah, exactly. Yes.
So what, 35, 45, 55 years?
Yeah, that's what he got. Yeah.
He got 55 years 20.
And so he was like 40, yeah.
He was in his 40s. So we're talking 50, 60, 70, 80. So, he'll die in prison.
We can, God willing, he'll die.
Yes.
Wow. So this has been a good one and some unexpected justice at the end. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like she was vindicated a little bit, you know, just.
I'm telling you, when I heard that extra 35, I was like.
Well, yeah, because it's like, I understand the plea deal for the 20. I really do for the family. I understand the thought process behind that, but I don't, that would be a hard decision to make. Do I want him to serve more time or do I want?
So you look at it like that and you're right. You, as a family, you think, okay, it would be a hard decision. But without that body,
he may have got nothing.
He may have got hit with tampering of evidence and
because at that time there was no body. Yeah.
And if they would have tried him for you know, murder in the first degree and he was found not guilty,
they couldn't do it again.
They cannot do it again. Yeah. Whether they find her body later or not.
I'm sure there's other charges at that time, but for the actual murder, yeah.
He would never serve murder charges.
And it almost kind of makes me go, these detectives had all this audio.
I think they did.
They kind of held that back, like, we got this little...
I think that they went to the family and they said, we're going to offer him this plea. I think they already knew that they had him on federal charges.
I do too.
They knew it.
Well, because he said he went to Devil, or the boat was seen at Devil's Island. They seen him cleaning. They knew he was in Illinois.
They knew he had crossed state lines. They knew he killed her. So they knew, okay, let's offer him this plea deal. Let's bring her home.
Yep. For her family.
For her family. And let's give them this extra charge. And I think they told the family.
I mean, you're talking to attorneys. They know way more than what a family does.
Well, so. I think probably too, the police were, I mean, in this instance, you feel the guilt, the hurt, you know, so I think there probably was an officer who did the right thing and said, look, we can get him on federal charges.
Yep.
Take this plea deal. Allow him to tell you where she is, and I promise
we will
go further. So I really do. I think that they did a lot of justice for this family.
Absolutely.
I definitely don't think they failed this family.
So he has to do the 20 years.
He has to because
right.
So now we talked appeals and everything. He cannot appeal this.
Because
he pled guilty to this charge.
And he agreed to 20 years.
Yes.
Period.
Okay. So he cannot appeal. He cannot get a lesser sentence for this. He has to serve his 20 years for this charge.
And it almost makes you go, okay, so you're talking about not having the evidence, or did he know, man, I'm screwed. They're going to get me. 20 years is less than life.
That's what I think he was like, I don't know. They're offering me this, I'd be stupid not to take it, because,
and obviously
he knows he killed her. So obviously, and they find her, I'm gonna get life.
And it's not like he would have a problem telling them exactly what that's what he wanted to do. He was like kind of bragging about it.
He was like, okay,
yeah. Wow.
He's like, yeah, I told her I'm gonna kill her.
Wow.
She killed her.
Wow, just evil. I mean, he truly sounds like just one of them evil individuals.
No remorse.
No.
But we got some resources for you guys. Stacey's going to give you, because obviously, like we said, this domestic violence shit is real. There's so many all around the world that go on. There was one just this past year. I would love to dive into that case as well.
Okay.
Eventually. It'll be in the books. I actually know some people who were kind of close to her. So okay. I'm hoping maybe we can get some resources there and do her a little bit of justice.
That would be amazing.
But for everyone else, let's give them some.
So the domestic violence hotline is 1-800-799-7233. The sexual assault hotline is 1-800-656-4673. Our resources for today's episode was mocadsv.org.
And that website there and the phone numbers we will have included on our Facebook and our website and everything, Twitter. And that mocadsv.org, it actually is a resource center.
So you can
request, you know, private stuff and things like that. So that's a very, very good resource.
I'm gonna give that again, because it's MOCAD as in dog, SV as in Victor.org. So that sounds like that's a great resource.
That's a good resource. Based on what I could see from it, it definitely had
true crime junkies.
Exactly. But so let's go ahead. I'm going to shoot you guys some of our info. Check us out at www.murdershowsandcomfyclothes.com. Our episodes are up on there. We hope to very soon have merch coming. If, you know, Heather decides to get back from Florida.
Better come home.
Yeah, if not, we're just going to be in Florida.
Don't
worry, either way, we'll all be back together because we'll be in Florida.
She's not allowed to leave.
No. But also check us out on Facebook, Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes on Loco. Same thing for Twitter. Both of them have on Loco because that's our network that we're on. Check us out. Give us a like, give us a follow, and send us cases, guys. Get on our website, send us cases, family members, people you know. Let's get their names out there. Let's get their voices out there. And we're going to leave y'all because I'm hungry as always.
And it's Mexican after the show.
It's Mexican, what, Monday?
Monday, there we go.
So guys, we'll leave you with
stay comfy,
don't get murdered.